You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, no one wants to see anybody get hurt. Peter just proved that. But somewhere today in California, Scott Boras might be rubbing his hands because Lucas Giolito, who signed one of the Red Sox few free agent contracts during the offseason, I think like 2 years, $39 million, suffered a tear of the UCL. He's going to miss the entire 2024 season. So maybe that opens up a market for Blake Snell or for Jordan Montgomery. The Red Sox, I mean, listen, this isn't Yankee boy talking. It's not. But They have the opportunity to finish last again. They probably are going to finish last. They're awful. They've made no moves. They've not really brought in any big free agents other than Giolito. They're looking to trade Kenley Jansen. They just look like they want to dump money. And now do they pivot? Because they've had discussions with Jordan Montgomery. And Montgomery's wife is a practicing medical student in Boston. So it'd be a perfect place for him. Do they go after Montgomery? So does Boras get the situation that was going to save him? A desperate team that lost one of its pitchers. And there are a lot of pitchers that are going down. The Orioles have a couple of pitchers that have gone down. Is anybody going to pivot and get Snell? Is the price of Snell and Montgomery now going up because of what they gave Zach Wheeler, the Phillies, $42 million a year? I will tell you this, everybody, and you might all disagree with me. You sign either of those pitchers, you're not getting them. You're not getting them for opening day. You're just not. And Scott could say, he's got facilities. They're working out. They're doing the same thing they would be doing spring training. It's not the same. It's not pitching to people in games. It's not building up your pitch count. There is no way possible that those guys are going to be ready for the start of the season. Why are you doing something like that? And then they're going to be playing catch up the rest of the way. Doesn't make sense. It's a silly move right now if you invest a lot of money on a long-term deal in those guys, because as they try to rush to get themselves ready, they might blow themselves out.
I don't know why the Red Sox would do it, though. I mean, Giolito was a free agent at the end of the year, correct? I mean, so why would you sign a multi-year deal to Snell or to Montgomery? I think they know what...
No, Giolito had 2 years. He got a year after this.
Yeah?
Yeah, he signed a 2-year, $39 million deal.
Because it said he was, okay. I'm just looking at the contract. He signed through 2024, 1 year, $19 million, and a 25-26 player/team option.
Right, so...
So he's a free agent in 2025, it says here on Baseball Reference.
Well, he's going to... Now that he just had Tommy John surgery, he's picking up that $19 million option.
But what I'm saying is, if he didn't get hurt...
Right.
There was no guarantee he was going to stay beyond this year.
The owner of the Red Sox, Don, seems to have come to this revelation. He doesn't want to sign any pitchers to long-term deals because they all get hurt.
So then why, when you lose Giolito, who could walk at the end of the year and what was probably going to be a lost season for the Red Sox anyway, would you sign a multi-year deal to Snell or Montgomery? Because Giolito got hurt.
You got to eat in. You got to cover innings somehow.
I get it, but it doesn't mean you have to go sign him to multi-year deals.
They have been in discussions with him. They've had Zoom meetings with him, so I don't know what that's about. This is Montgomery, not Snell.
Right.
I don't think why would you invest in Snell if you're not even going to try? They're not trying. They're going to finish in last place again. They have taken a complete 180 from what they used to be. They used to go out and get the best players and bid with anybody. Now they've taken a 180. They've completely shut it down. And people are saying, well, he's more concerned, with his investment in PGA. He's more concerned with his investment with the European soccer.
Yeah, they still have a NASCAR team. They've got their hands in a lot of different things. It was something else I saw too. I know, but there's some they've invested something else. They get it everywhere. So, yeah, I guess you just wonder that they even care at this point for a team that I guess wasn't going to win anyway.
Well, you wonder when somebody going to move on Snell and Montgomery. Are these injuries that are going on in baseball right now, is that going to force somebody to move? I don't think the Yankees are in play. I don't think they're spending $60 million on Snell. I think the Dodgers aren't in play. For some reason, the Rangers do not want Jordan Montgomery back because they've got their television situation straightened out. And the guy who owns the team is a multi-billionaire. You mean to tell me he couldn't afford $25 million to bring in Jordan Montgomery? I think what's going on in Texas is this. They're waiting for Scherzer to get back. They're waiting for DeGrom to get back. And they got a World Series that they could sit back and tell their fans, hey, we won a World Series last year. Give us a break. So I don't think they're going to go after Montgomery. And something happened today where Verlander is going to start the season on the IL.
Yeah.
And that bodes well for the Mets. And you might say, well, how does that bode well for the Mets? If he pitches over 140 innings this year, then his next year's contract becomes guaranteed. And the Mets are liable for $17.5 million of it. So if he doesn't get to 140, then that does not happen. And the Mets are off the hook. And their responsibility to Verlander is over, and that's more money they could spend on Alonso or Soto or Max Fried or whoever they want to go after next year. So the Mets are closely monitoring that, and that also means that the Yankees will not face Justin Verlander in the four-game series that opens up the season. So there you have it. Some baseball news for you. Also, the Yankees sent down Spencer Jones to start the season, Double-A Somerset, so Don could get a chance to watch him.
Hey now.
Yeah.
He had a great couple of games in spring training. Looked really excellent. This is one of the Yankees' top prospects. Actually got a double today against the Mets. Yankees lost 5-4 to the Mets. It was a game on ESPN. But they sent him down because there's no room for him now. But you might see this guy, and he might become a very important Yankee for a long time.
I'd be curious about Verlander, if you're a Mets fan, about that 140. He led the league in innings pitched in 19 at 223 innings. Obviously, you throw away the next two seasons. In 2020 through 2022, 175. Last year, combined with the Mets and the Astros, 162 and a third. So 140 is, you know, not guaranteed for Verlander, especially, as you said, not starting the season.
And
not
they're probably
going
to have
thought.
To handle him carefully, too.
Sure.
Boris spoke to Jesse Rogers of ESPN. This was Monday, and he said, just in the past week, four new teams have inquired about free agent pitchers Snell and Montgomery. That was before Giolito was deemed out for the season. The extent of the interest is unknown. And Scott said, there's a pitching panic going on in baseball. We've got so many starting pitchers that are now compromised, maybe short-term, some long-term, and the calls for elite starters are starting to increase. With many clubs right now, because of the pitching issue, the competitiveness of their seasons is at risk.
All right, but does he have elite starters?
He thinks he does.
Do you? Montgomery is not an elite starter.
He's three.
Snell could be. I mean, just won the Cy Young, but we have seen how he has pitched after winning the Cy Young.
Let's put it this way. They ain't Gerrit Cole.
No, or DeGrom, or Verlander and Scherzer in their prime. I mean, really, who is elite, Michael? Right now, I mean, when you talk about elite, it's usually a conversation we have for quarterbacks. But now, Blake Snell, I guess, would be in the conversation. He won the Cy Young.
Right.
But he has not been consistently elite. I wouldn't
think Max Fried would be somebody. Zach Wheeler, you'd have to look at and say he's elite.
And in those cases, Wheeler just got the money from Philadelphia. But there's very few. Now, obviously, he's going to talk up his clients. I get it, Michael. But I don't think that you could say with any kind of certitude that Snell is going to be elite this year. And when I think elite, I think innings. And I don't think Snell gives you innings.
I'm just, as I said, fascinated how this is going to play out because Chapman signed for much less than they thought he was going to get. He turned down much more from the Blue Jays last year, much less. So he's got the three opt-outs with the Giants. So that means that it was a contract that he knew he was going to grab. And if he has another good season, he'll go out in the free agent market again. So that was something that was undervalued. Who was the guy that signed before? It was the five guys that were free agents.
What, Bellinger signed?
Yeah, Bellinger signed for under what they thought.
Right.
Although it could turn out to be $30 million a year, so it's not terrible, but he wanted a 5-6-7 year deal. He got a 3-year deal for $80 million. JD Martinez is still out of work. Blake Snell is still out of work. Jordan Montgomery is still out of work. It's March 5th. The season starts on March 28th.
I mean, you know how it's going to play out, Michael. These guys are going to sit unsigned until a team panics because of injury. They're going to sign Montgomery or Snell, and they're going to get hurt. That's likely how you would, if you had to bet, that's likely how it would go.
Right. And you know what? You can't feel sorry for those teams because it's right there in front of them. You're going to rush a guy, sign, like if he signed right now, this second, as we're speaking, he's not going to get to camp probably after physicals until, you know, March 8th. So that's three more days. And again, the Dodgers and the Padres open up earlier in Korea, but all Major League Baseball opens up on the 28th. How are they getting ready? If they sign on the 8th, how are they getting ready in 20 days? They're not.
Mm-mm.
So they're going to start on, they're going to start, and not, they won't be on the IL, but they'll be in spring training. Why are you doing that? I think, listen, I've said it over and over. I'm a big fan of Boris. I think he's so smart. He misread the market with these guys. He just did. He misread the market with Bellinger. I mean, you think if he had a do-over, would he take the 6 years, 150 that the Yankees allegedly offered Snell? So the Yankees pivoted and got themselves Stroman for a lot less money, a lot less of a commitment. Now, it might not be the same pitcher as Snell, but he might be. Because if you look at Snell's two Cy Young Award years, and then you look at the other years, it's not dominant.
Right. That's why I said elite pitcher. Again, I'll give it to Snell last year because he won the Cy Young. But are you banking on getting him at an elite level this year?
Hey, if people think you're elite, like they thought with Yamamoto, they'll bid out of their gourd. If they think you're elite, like Gerrit Cole, they'll give you 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. They will do it. And I said this in November. These guys have warts. They're not perfect pitchers. And there's going to be a limited market. And there is. There just is. I can't wait to see how it turns out. Knicks tonight against the Hawks. Still awaiting word whether or not Brunson's going to play. Might be a good idea not to play him. Why rush it? Let him heal another game.
At the same time, though, do you want to, if he's good.
Right.
If he says he feels good.
If he's good, then you play him.
Don't you want to get this one tonight?
You want to get this one, but as Don said, even without him, shouldn't you get this one?
You should be able to get it. Now, the problem is, you know, Orlando's not going to be easy. You got back-to-back games of the Garden against the Sixers. I mean, I would think eventually the Sixers will beat you. I mean, you've won a couple in a row against them. You think you're going to win both of those games? Then you go out west. Now, you're going out west.
It's the easy Portland's west.
Portland's not very good. Sacramento's not, but it's still the west.
And it ends with Denver, of course. So,
which will most likely be a loss considering what you did to them at the Garden.
One quick thing, MLB The Show is out, and this year they have that you can play in the games as a woman.
Okay.
Which is really smart because you're trying to get young girls interested in the game, and they could play as a woman. And I'm telling you, I'm just following it on social. People are freaking out. Women don't play in Major League Baseball.
Oh, my God. It's
a
video
game. Fake, right? It's a video game. It's fantasy.
Right. You're not actually.
You can't play as Mark McGwire either.
Oh, it's only, let me get this straight. It's cool if you can put yourself in the game.
Right.
But if you put Susie yourself in the game as a woman, then something's wrong with you. What sport do you think, I guess it's a two-prong question, does the best job to get women into the sport?
And, probably football.
And has the most women football. Following the sport?
Football.
I would think. Football is the most everyone.
I'll
say percentages because you can't go by sheer number because football wins everything because of the sheer number of people. But percentage of women that are interested in it. I wonder if football is the highest.
It's either football or basketball.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Now, speaking of women, Don, I meant to bring this up for you yesterday.
Yes.
The Mets are going to have a cheerleading dance crew. Ugh. Are you okay with that?
I'm not a cheerleader guy. I love the fact the Giants don't have cheerleaders. I'm not a cheerleader guy. I think, aren't we beyond that now? Honestly, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's football. I enjoy football.
It's the Mets, I said.
I understand.
Mets.
I enjoy baseball as well. If I don't accept it in football, you think I'm going to accept it in baseball? Well, I don't get it. What are we doing? I understand that you're not guaranteed to be entertained, but do I need dancers to entertain me? I'm good.
I just want to go there to watch a game.
You don't have to look at the cheerleaders.
I know, but
entertain me, clowns.
I get some of the the non-traditional hockey markets. I think in Carolina and Arizona they'll have cheerleaders. I think they have them in Dallas. I'm good, man. It's not my thing.
It's not for me.
Entertain me, clowns.
It's definitely not my thing. And if it's not my thing for football, where it seems to be universally accepted, then it's definitely not my thing in other sports.
What really bothered me was when Red Auerbach had always said, over my dead body. And before his body was cold, they brought in the Celtics dancer team.
And that was literally over his dead body.
Yeah.
Educate me, clowns.
The great line by this young lady who covers baseball. She tweeted, her name is Jordan Cicelli. How dare MLB The Show include women in my very realistic game that lets me make an all-star team of dead baseball players go up against the current LA Dodgers?
Thank you.
So well.
No, you can put yourself in the game.
That's the point, God.
Yeah, that's the point, God. How dare you? I like it to be realistic where I can make someone who looks like me, a 5'8", pudgy nothing, dominate in the NBA. Please keep things realistic for me.
And really, if you think about it, you don't have to play the woman in the game if you don't want to. You can put them on the team, but it's not like they're forcing you to play.
But this was
the Rosie O'Donnell's team in League of Their Own.
Mage, I love that movie. But this is my point about yesterday. It's people are just so easily triggered. It seems like for no reason. The Caitlin Clark conversation. There are interesting things to point out, and then there's also like.
It's not reality. A video game is not reality.
But
so even in our fake, we have to be real.
Yes.
Real. Well, women don't play, so why would it? You're taking the realism out of the game. Like, it's a game. It's not real.
Now, meanwhile, I have a question. What would happen? I know this seems impossible, but for these people who are freaking out about the video game. Ariana Judge is born.
Oh, you already named the kid.
She's Ariana. She's Ariana Judge.
AJ.
She's 6'4", right. And she can hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball out of the park.
Right.
And a team goes, we've never seen this before, but she's dominating. We're gonna put her in the game. What would happen to the video game people? Would they freak out? Would they say, no, I don't, even if she can play the game, I don't want her to play the game. What would happen? They die?
No, I don't think they would die. And there's a lot going on with when this happens, because
there's no women's baseball league, right? There's no women's football league. That option doesn't exist. Right. So the only league that would exist for is the men's league for them to play.
They really bothered that the sister did well because her brother, Arson, not a good ball player.
Oh yeah, everyone loves Ariana. No one likes Arson.
Yeah, not good.
Well, because Arson was going to San Francisco.
Yeah. I remember it well. A lot of love, Don. A lot of people felt very good to see me have your back. Made people feel good. They enjoy it.
I don't see that on my feed.
What are they saying to you?
They're not saying anything. They ignored it.
Exactly. But to me, they're saying, attaway. We love
because
seeing.
You're sucking up to you.
We love seeing when you guys have each other's backs and you don't throw each other like chum to sharks.
I did get a reaction here. Let's see. I got a text message from a few people, so they have my back. Just personal stuff. And then Dan says, I'll step up in any Home Depot parking lot for Don LaGreca.
You hear that?
Dan would get his butt kicked. He's not a big guy.
Don't know. He's back, but he's willing to back Don up. That's the point.
Of course, because he's his best friend. That should be the case.
But it wasn't Dan Grasso.
It's not Dan.
It was somebody on social media that said Dan.
I thought it was Dan Grasso.
No. I thought the same thing.
I don't know if, as much as I love Dan, I don't know that he would physically have my back in a fight.
People think Don is a fake tough guy.
I'm Mr. Joe Football.
They know he's joking. That's love meatballs.
Who's joking?
Don.
Or the guy Steve?
No, Don. Whenever he, the things Don says, he's never trying to be a tough guy.
I think of meatballs.
He's a regular man. A mortal man.
Average Don.
He's your average Don. If he cuts, Michael, if he's cut, does he not bleed red?
He bleeds marinara sauce.
Exactly right.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Eight NFL teams
applied
franchise tags to players. The two that are of import to the Jets, the Bengals gave T. Higgins a franchise tag.
Right.
And the Colts gave Michael Pittman a franchise tag. So that's two more wide receivers that the Jets can dream about. Safeties don't seem to get much love, but Tampa Bay franchised Antoine Winfield, a safety. So that's interesting as well. Jaguars franchised linebacker Josh Allen. The Kansas City Chiefs franchised their cornerback Legarius Sneed. And the Ravens, the defensive tackle Justin Matabuik.
Who the commies franchise?
Nobody.
No one.
And the Patriots put a transition tag on Kyle Duggar, the safety. And Brian Burns, the linebacker for the Panthers, got franchised as well. You got to give such love to the NFL. They do everything right. It's the only league, right? The only league that somebody's played out his contract, and there's a mechanism in the collective bargaining agreement where they can actually take the guy's legs out from under him and not make him a free agent. Think about it.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen in baseball. Doesn't happen in the NBA. You can actually stop. 32 teams should be bidding on you if you're a great player like T. Higgins. But because the franchise tag exists, one team gets to keep you. It's unbelievable.
Negotiate it out. I mean, they've had opportunities during the CBAs to get rid of this, and it never seems to happen. I've talked to people about it. When they get to the table, they want to live in the now, and they wanted a bigger piece of the pie. But you know, franchise tags and guaranteed money. Why can't they get rid of the franchise tag? Why can't they get guaranteed money like other sports? We'll say, well, because of injuries. I mean, injuries happen all over the place. Just ask the Knicks. But their union isn't very strong, Michael. You saw what happened in '87.
Well, I think that the lifespan, the career lifespan of an NFL player, it makes it very unlikely they're going to sit out a year like hockey players do.
All right, and baseball obviously got the strength because they had, you know, an amazing union led by Marvin Miller back in the day, because they used to get taken advantage of terribly before Marvin Miller came in the late 60s and early 70s. But, you know, they finally got everything they wanted when they canceled the 94 season. They didn't have a World Series in 94. The NHL didn't have a Stanley Cup in 05. But, you know, football, they tried it in 87. The star players crossed the picket line in droves, and really since then, the owners have had it over the players. Can't do anything about it, and they just do not have the time. I know they try to negotiate, they try to do the right thing, Michael, but they've had a ton of CBAs, and they complain that they don't want these things, but do they do enough to try to extract it from the CBA? They just don't.
And the NFL knows it holds its cudgel over their head because, you know, the people that make a lot of money, and they don't want to strike. I mean, a quarterback making $55 million a year does not want to sit out five games. Let's go to John in Battery Park. John.
Hey, fellas. Just quick point on Snell. Then I'd like to get to Caitlin Clark. But is he the only pitcher to have two Cy Youngs and one All-Star appearance?
Wow.
Pretty interesting
there. Great.
How many times did...
I don't know that. I'd never heard
Lincecum that. Lincecum jumps to mind. How many times did Lincecum go to the All-Star game? Let me check. Because he's a multiple Cy Young Award winner, Michael, and probably won't sniff the Hall of Fame. But he had to have more than one, right?
I would think so. Don's looking that up, John, what was your point about Caitlin?
Four All-Star games for Tim.
Four for Lincecum.
I thought Peter's take yesterday on Caitlin was spot on. I mean, she's the number one scorer in D1 college hoops, right? Like, that's the sentence, that's the truth. And honestly, I'd argue that her scoring record is more impressive than Pete's. Like, she's won 78% of her games. He only won 58. Pistol never made the tournament. She's 8-3 in the tournament with two Big Ten titles. And everyone talks about, like, games played and three-point line. I get that. But also look at shots taken.
He took a lot more shots.
573 more and 390 more free throws than her. So, anyway, when it's all said and done, I think if she only cared about scoring, she could have gotten close to 5,000 if her father was the coach.
I love
I mean, you can't put it on Press Maravich. Pete Maravich was a great player.
But it's still a strong call. Let's just, again, a reminder earlier. Those who support Peter, usually smarter than the rest.
But the argument is that why should we recognize the difference? We know there's a difference.
Right. Exactly.
Right. But to throw out the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history, although it's true, I guess it irritates some people that you're not acknowledging the difference. The biggest difference
is
that the level of competition.
And also, you got to stop with it, didn't get in the postseason. Back then, one team out of a conference went to the postseason.
The biggest argument is the eras. It's a different world.
Well, it's eras. As Richard pointed out, college basketball was literally integrating. The schools integrated as Maravich was there.
Right.
There's a lot of things that make it different.
3-point line, you know, the women's ball is smaller. I mean, there's differences. There's clearly differences. So it's just a matter of, do you feel like you have to say the women's leader, men's leader, you feel that it's obvious?
I just think at this point, in this season when it's happening, it should be celebrated as she is the new all-time leading scorer in Division I basketball. And by the way, Michael, pick up Milton. His point that he's going to make, I think, speaks to this as well to some degree.
All right, we'll go to Milton in Brooklyn. Milton.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey, Milton.
Good, how are you?
I'm okay. You guys are pretty cool. Y'all remind me and my buddies growing up on the same block for 50 years.
Well, thank you, Milton.
Sports and life. Y'all are real cool.
Thanks, man.
All right, but now I want to bring something about Caitlin Clark's situation. Mike and Mr. King, you're old enough to remember the AIAW?
Yes.
Okay. Do y'all know that one of their athletes named Pearl Moore scored 4,061 points in a 4-year college career?
Yep.
But
she dropped 60 on Tennessee in her senior year.
But I thought she was a Division II player.
Yeah, but they also played Division I, Division II played each other as they do today. But they also intertwined when it came to playing games, because her senior year she dropped 60 on Tennessee.
Well, listen, I would say it's still the same point, though. Even if they do intertwine stuff, she is the leading Division II of all time, and Caitlin Clark's the leading scorer of Division I of all time.
And based on it, Michael's talked about this before, too, that you may see the record for points in college broken by another woman.
Very possible.
A great college basketball player, if they're that great, that prolific a scorer, they're probably gone. Only going to stay in school 1 year and then be gone. So, and because of with the WNBA and because of the money that you can make in college, the women may stay a lot longer. So you're going to see a lot of 3, maybe 4-year runs. And if you're a prolific scorer, you decide to stay in school, You know, Kayla could have added to this. She could have stayed in school one more year if she wanted to.
Because of COVID, they all had a...
Right. But then, would it do anything? Because then the argument would just be, but you played another year. I mean, they're already saying always, that.
But everything is going to be a comparison. And that was just... essentially, that was my argument yesterday, is that anybody breaks a record, you can get somebody to say, well, wait a minute. The record that he broke, it was done at this time with this rule. Everything's much different.
By the way, Ebro has weighed in, Don. And he texted me that he would, quote, beat the bleep out of somebody for Don.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Direct
to say.
Quote.
I appreciate that, and I would do the same for him.
So maybe Anthony, was that Steve's friend?
I don't remember what the guy's name was.
Maybe Anthony can meet Ebro in the parking lot. You know? Shoot the fair one, if you will.
I wouldn't allow Ebro to get his hands dirty with something like this.
Well, listen, he's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants.
No, but I'd talk him out of it because he's got too much to lose.
But Don, you'd be fine with Don going and fighting in the parking
lot. No, I said I didn't want Don to fight, but I'm not going to sit here and verbally take up his fight for him.
But then when
like you did, like he's helpless.
Oh, please.
Like he's some sap.
That's the last thing anyone thinks about Donald Marco LaGreca.
Well, you do, because you wouldn't let him talk for himself.
No, he just didn't need to.
You
in
big-footed
that
him.
He didn't feel that way at all.
I didn't feel
he
that way.
He wouldn't tell you.
No, you made eye contact.
I made eye contact, and I put my hand up, and I said, I got this. That's what you do.
How would it make him look if he said, no, don't?
I'll tell you this. I've had moments, never from you, because you're a bad guy, Michael, but I've had moments where Don has done the same for me, where the person's come after me, and Don just immediately jumps in and goes, and I feel cared for. I feel protected. I feel appreciated. Feels like a team.
You know, I don't exactly know what you want from me. There are times that I go out and say, when I used to like reply to people on social media, I would defend you. You know what? I'll never defend you again.
But anyone who can rot. Anyone who listens to this show knows that you don't defend me.
I do. They defend Don. Do I defend Peter on the air?
On occasion.
Right. I'm not going to do it all the time.
Okay. If you were to say, if we were to play out a situation and even run this up the poll and say a random caller, let's just say Steve from Staten Island, calls the show and starts ripping Peter.
Right.
What is most likely to happen?
Michael is going to say he makes some salient points.
The last choice would be Michael ardently defends Peter. That would get the lowest. Okay. Would you agree? Lowest
now,
voting, right, Don?
Don, the one who always says you got to make good radio. Me defending
Peter. Yeah, but every
Peter,
once in a while.
Is that going to be great radio?
You know what?
Saying, you know what? He makes some salient points.
I might be dead wrong on this, Peter. I believe you had two intents. You wanted to defend me, but you were also looking to make good radio out of what you were doing.
Absolutely. I knew there was a chance that it would go somewhere, which it did. It turned into maybe the best segment of the show, but that happens a lot when I do things like that. But I didn't know it would go as, you know, I didn't know the guy all of a sudden would start threatening me.
I'm kind of glad he did. Let's go to Joe in West Harrison.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you this evening?
Hey, Joe.
How are you?
Good. Hey, Mike, my brother Luigi says, are you making it down to Tampa to share? We want you to go by the restaurant and have dinner.
I don't know if I'll have time to have dinner because that's when all the advertisers are down there, but the last weekend of March, I'll be down there.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get down there then, anyway. I will, for sure, guys. Getting to that point, I mean, that gentleman prior that was giving you the stats on why the scoring record, you know, is more deserving of her. Quick question. Doesn't when they get into the NCAAs, doesn't that count for the scoring record all time, too? Individual, but no, what I'm trying to say is he wasn't in as much. That just adds to she had more opportunity to get points, A and B. Like you said, there wasn't that many teams taken back then. And also, you know, men with hand checking back then, physicality was a lot more difficult than what she went through, I believe. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, but also, Joe, I mean...
The tough argument, though, is that...
He took a lot more shots.
He still managed to find 500 more shots.
500 more shots, and then the flip side is he only played 3 years, and he didn't have a three-point line.
But I hate that I keep ending up in this position where I'm like... First of all, I grew up going to a basketball camp, Gonzaga basketball camp in D.C., where, like, they talked about Pistol Pete a lot. We watched videos of Pistol Pete. Like, he's the man, dude. Like, I am not hating... If you are, like, a real fan of basketball who attempted to at least learn the game and play it properly, you love Pete Maravich. I'm sitting here ending up like kind of you-know-whatting on Pete. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying, why do we have to have the conversation? Caitlin Clark's awesome. Pete Maravich is awesome. She's the all-time leading scorer in Division I history. All respect to Perla Moore. All respect to Pete Maravich. In terms of straight up the number one scorer in Division I history, it's Caitlin Clark.
Chauncey and Westwood.
What's that?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I just want to give my take on this whole friends befriending friends thing.
Yeah.
Peter, I think your intentions were good, but, you know, like you're saying, for good radio, if someone's coming at Don, I think it's pretty good radio to let him respond himself. That's just my first point.
Oh, what a smart call. Point is, that's a point guard, Chauncey, right there.
It could be, but, like, that's not necessarily.
Because there's a chance that Don could lose his mind,
but
too.
But it would be an impure. That's an impure Don losing his mind.
When he loses his mind,
yeah,
he really
but Peter,
loses it.
Peter read the situation. Peter, you saw that I was not going to lose my mind.
No, it was too obvious.
Because I wasn't talking to the person that wanted to fight me. I was talking to his friend.
Yo-yo friend.
Now, I was trying to fish to see if he agreed. Now, if he had said, I do agree, then maybe it would have been a different story. But
we'll never know because Peter had to play big.
Well, I did ask Steve. Steve didn't answer because he was too busy, you know, ripping into Peter. But go ahead, Chauncey.
It's still a good call, though. I appreciate it. Sure, it's a good point.
So, adding on to that, going to something that Don said, he said that, you know, he's friends with Grasso, but he doesn't know that, if he got in a physical altercation, if Grasso would step in. My take is if you consider yourselves real friends, no matter what the circumstance, you're stepping in and you're helping your friend, even if it's over a bad reason. You got to step in. You got to put it all on the line.
Well,
you got to show your brotherhood.
I don't know his physical prowess in fighting, but I will say this. Dan has always had my back. He was at my Aunt Polly's funeral. He's come to many different things when I've needed him, but I just never have seen him fight. So I just don't know how much he would be able to help. But no, every time I've ever needed Dan, even when I haven't necessarily needed him, he's been there for me. So
if
no question.
One of your friends that, I mean, I'm not saying I know all of them, that you'd want to back you up in a fight, it would be Mr. Gregory Aloysius Buttle. That's the guy.
I can honestly say the only person that I am 100% sure would kill for me is Greg.
We'll commit actual murder, you're saying?
I think he would gleefully do it.
Well,
volunteer.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
No. If you give him an opportunity to take a life,
animal. No, I'm just saying that if it was told to him, Greg, if you step in here in this fight, the only way you're going to be able to save Don is if you take that other person's life. Greg would not hesitate.
He'd have to kill.
Now, other people might do it too, but they'd hesitate, Peter, to think about it. I think Greg would be in. And you know what? I think he would do a tremendous amount of damage.
I would not hesitate. I just wouldn't do it. There'd be no hesitation.
Peter, I don't want to kill.
Don, while people are attacking you and want to fight you, I know you're very, very, very into bathtubs.
Well, what do you want to do is get a nice soak. And Don LaGreca here to tell you how you can do that. Check out my friends over at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my mom's bath, did an awesome job. The process was easy. One expert installer, even with the customization she needed for a cast iron tub. It was done in one day with no demo or mess. It's a beautiful, high-quality, permanent solution. Bath Fitter provides a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like my mom. For a limited time, get 0% interest and save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point guard.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
They can't always rely on the power play to save them. And that's what's happened largely this season. When they're playing 5-on-5, Michael, they're not nearly as good a team. And they've got to figure that out. And when you're playing 5-on-5, you're going to need other guys to score. And if Zibanejad isn't going to score, and if Kreider isn't going to score 5-on-5, it's got to be more than just Lafreniere, Panarin, and Trocheck. It can't just be one line. So hopefully they go out and get a right winger, maybe another center to kind of round things out. They're going to have to do something. They were going to have to do something if they won that game 6-0. But I think the way that went down, that's the team. The Florida Panthers right now on March 5th are the best team in the NHL. But right now, that's the gold standard. They went to the final last year. Right now, they'd win the President's Trophy if the season ended today. And they've lost both games against the Panthers, 4-3, and essentially a one-goal game last night with the empty net. They can hang with them. But if you're going to win a best-of-seven series against that team, they're going to have to get more. And I don't know if they can get it from what they currently have.
Thing is rigged. It's all rigged. All right, so
Boy's ass.
Nice point, but the guy who chooses it is Anthony Pusey.
Yeah, I know.
Don's co-host.
Yeah, on the hockey podcast. No, I have a plan now, Michael. Now I know what to do going forward.
What? Just talk hockey?
I'm just going to come in every day with one strong hockey point and see if that's enough.
How many hockey points have 1 point got?
Well, this is the first one.
But it's he had an opportunity, he had a window.
Yeah, I mean, you're so biased, Anthony.
Yeah,
Don't stop booing him.
Does Jacob have a say?
Yeah, most of the time they pick it. Jacob or Tom.
Jacob, how did you feel about this selection today? Be honest.
There wasn't much else to get.
Wow.
Points from you guys.
Honestly, interesting.
Chocolate soft serve in your pants.
That was a very interesting take.
Yeah, he buried everyone on the show. You don't see it every day.
You like my answer better?
Made a point today. That's tough.
The Knicks have announced Jalen Brunson not playing.
Not what you want.
So let me ask you, Peter. You're very good at this because you're a champ for picks. It's the reason I'm growing a Pusick, because of how great you are. The Knicks were 2.5-point favorite over the Hawks before Brunson was declared out. Then ESPN Bet took the line down.
Yeah.
Put it back up.
Oh, it's back up?
But what do you think the line is now? What is Brunson worth?
I believe Atlanta's now a 2.5-point favorite.
I don't even know how you won the bets. The Knicks were 2.5-point favorites. Now they're 1.5-point favorites.
That's a problem. Oh, that makes no sense to me.
All right, so you got to bet it then.
I would.
No, if there's a line and your answer is this makes no sense to me.
Cut his fat ass. Well, I just, to me, Brunson. First of all, let's be clear. Basketball, we've seen this before. We saw last week a Knicks line just changed by 6 points? So it's not like football where like you lose a running back, it's worth half a point. The star player of the team, who, by the way, is the only one of their big three, if you will, that's playing, is now out. And I can't believe they're still 1 point for Brunson?
That's how bad the Hawks are.
I guess so.
They don't have Trae Young.
I understand that, but still, Brunson's only worth 1 point?
That's right.
Nah. You know what? Bad job by them. I'd do it again.
Don, I have a question to ask you because I hear Brandy Scott say this thing all over, every single day.
Yes.
What is the Stickle drawbridge? Where is it? I've never been over it. It's something that intrigues me. I want to explore.
The Stickle?
Yeah, the Stickle drawbridge.
I'm not sure.
You don't know either?
I don't know. I don't know. I've heard the Bayonne. I really don't know. I've heard it myself. I just don't know. I've heard it myself, but I honestly cannot tell you. And I love Jersey.
It's a Staten Island vehicle.
Oh, it's in Harrison, so it's by Newark. But I've never crossed it. I've passed Harrison through the turnpike, but Okay. I didn't know. Harrison is where the arena is for the Red Bulls.
It's a beautiful arena, I've heard.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Maybe I'll go there and watch Messi.
You probably would have trouble getting tickets.
Do you think so? Like Peter wouldn't be able to finagle them?
I'm sure he'd finagle them, but probably not at a price you'd be willing to pay.
I don't. Peter doesn't pay for tickets.
Remember I told you guys people who go against me are usually dumb? Yeah. Listen to an actual tweet I got.
It's an actual quote from an actual human being. Remember that, Michael?
Yes, I do.
Jets Voice of Reason tweeted me.
It sounds like he's not living up to that name.
Peter's argument is that points are points, and there's no need for the conversation of men versus women. Ask him his opinion on the number of black coaches in the NFL versus white coaches, and watch how passionate he gets rather than say, coaches are coaches. Don, tell me, what do you do with something that dumb that makes that little sense? Like, when someone tries to make a comparison, and there's no way for the human brain to comprehend the comparison because it makes no... What do?
Yeah, I think you ignore it.
Do you send back a note with a doctor, a prescription? Or maybe... You know what? I know what I'm doing. I'm going to reply with my BetterHelp code.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, BetterHelp.
How you do?
Code Peter. That's it. I can offer him help. That's all I can do, right, guys?
That was nice of you, actually.
Thank you. I think so. I'm not going to argue back. There's obviously a disconnect you have, and maybe you could get a little...
You know what, Peter? Why don't you expand on what BetterHelp can do for you right now?
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up, Michael. And this is a message brought to you by our friends at BetterHelp. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Would you exercise? Would you nap? Would you read? Spend time with friends and family? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? You need to know what's important to you. Therapy can help you find what matters most so you can do more of it. For me, therapy has been so helpful in prioritizing the things in my life that need prioritizing. Maybe you want to work on positive coping skills or setting boundaries. Well, therapy can empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter. Check them out today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.